This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Leiner.
Well, you know, I'm a fighter. That's my culture. And I think the longer that I own this team, they're going to pick up more of my culture is that we had them. We should have stepped on their throat the other night and cut their throat, okay? It's not, let's make a few shots and win. It's step on their throat and let's take it back to Houston and end it in six. And we'll pick up a few Tillmanisms along the way.
Well, not sure those Tillmanisms are happening as of yet. Rockets tied at two. They got a big game tonight, or today, I guess you could say, 5:30 against Oklahoma City. And their head coach, Mike D'Antoni, is being linked to multiple jobs around the NBA. Indiana just fired Nate McMillan. They're believed to be interested in Mike D'Antoni. He's been linked to the New Orleans job.
Yeah.
Which would allow him to coach Lonzo Ball and Zion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even been his name thrown out there with Brooklyn. If I'm Mike D'Antoni and I'm advising Mike D'Antoni, I'm telling him right now, take one of those three jobs and get the hell out of town. Get the hell out of town as soon as possible. The front office has shown you they don't appreciate you. They offered you an insulting extension. You hear Tillman Fertitta right there basically saying that this team doesn't have killer instinct. If they wanted to keep Mike D'Antoni at this point, they would have offered him a reasonable extension immediately. So if I'm Mike D'Antoni and I'm advising him, and I think it's a damn shame because I think Mike D'Antoni is a very good coach, I'm telling him take any of those three jobs that appear to be interested in you and make this your last stretch with the Houston Rockets.
You know, we were just playing a little while ago, a year after the fact, the Bill O'Brien audio talking about Jadeveon Clowney and how we should have known there were context clues, and we should have known back then that he was going to get traded. I think we can be saying the same thing right now. We should know, and I think I do know. I think most of us do know. Mike D'Antoni, you used the exact right word. Mike D'Antoni should be insulted that they are not giving him everything he needs to remain as the Rockets head coach. I mean, what more do you want from him? The way this offense, you know, runs when it's at its best, the style, the complete change of style that they've had over the last, you know, couple of years, really this year, the personnel, getting rid of Chris Paul, bringing in Russell Westbrook, and to be so seamless and so good. And yes, I know that the series is tied 2-2 and they may well end up losing this thing. But no one is better for this team, and especially James Harden, what he does, than Mike D'Antoni. And you haven't given him contract? I'm with you. Get the hell out.
Well, and I think it's just funny because I don't think people really understand, you know, if you have a problem with the way that the Rockets play basketball right now, that's not a D'Antoni thing. That's a James Harden thing.
Yeah.
Mike D'Antoni's system right now, quote-unquote system, is adopted around James Harden, who needs the ball in his hands a lot of time. And I'm not saying, of course, you choose James Harden over D'Antoni at this point, but I just get a kick out of all these fake-ass media types and these fake basketball people texting in saying that, you know, it's just Mike D'Antoni's system doesn't work. It never works. It never has. That's not how it works. That's just not factually correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's not factually correct. And if you need some layers to the onion there just so I can show you that this it's not a system thing, you can just go back to 2005. When Mike D'Antoni was with the Suns in 2005, they were a huge threat in the Western Conference. That was when he first started. Joe Johnson in the first round against the Mavericks breaks a damn eye socket. And he's basically out for the remainder of the playoffs. So you have bad luck there. 2006, Amari Stoudemire. A year after averaging 26 points, Amari Stoudemire, he has to have microfracture surgery in April, and he's done for the season. They still went to the Western Conference Finals with Tim freaking Thomas as the power forward. 2007, Amari Stoudemire, who was first team NBA, and Boris Diaw, who is one of the best bench players in the NBA, they get suspended for game 5 against San Antonio because of the Robert Horry hip check, and they end up losing that series. You then have the Chris Paul situation, where Chris Paul and the Rockets were up 3-2, but his hamstring popped out. He's had a lot of luck. It's not a system thing. And furthermore, if you look at the 2015-2016 Golden State Warriors, who shot the most threes in the NBA at the time, that was the D'Antoni system that they won with pre-Kevin Durant when they beat the Cavs in 6 in the NBA Finals. And Steve Kerr has said as much because he was an executive when Mike D'Antoni was in Phoenix. So it's not D'Antoni's system. The system right now with the Rockets is a Harden system. This is an adjustment to how James Harden plays basketball. This system has worked. This system has won championships. This system has been in position to win championships. If you have an issue with the way things are going right now, it's a James Harden thing, and you have to ride it out with James Harden, but it's not Mike D'Antoni's fault that things aren't going the way that you want it to go. His system, he adjusts to his personnel, and this is a James Harden thing more so than a Mike D'Antoni thing, and there's a reason why 3 other teams are interested in his services.
Look, again, it's everything you said is 100% accurate. I mean, 100%. But it's not Mike D'Antoni's fault, maybe to a small degree, that James Harden is just not finding the bucket from three-point range the last 3 games. He's had, you know, James Harden will tell you, I've gotten the looks, I've gotten the shots, but that's just on this one particular series. You have to look at his entire body of work and what he's done for this team and how good they've been. For them not to be, everybody wants to be appreciated in the work they do. I mean, that's everyday life. You want to be appreciated. They don't appreciate what Mike D'Antoni is doing. They can say they do. They can have press conferences. They can do all that stuff.
Well, the press conferences they've had have been nothing but disrespectful.
Deeds, not words.
Nothing but disrespectful is the press conferences that they've had. Nothing but disrespect.
Deeds, not words. You want to show him how much he's appreciated? Give him a contract here.
He shouldn't take it. He should go somewhere
else.
No, I
am actually to the point. I'm to the point where
go somewhere else.
I agree with you.
Go somewhere else. You don't want to be here.
Brooklyn, can you imagine him?
Nah. And for Tito, like the year-to-year deals, just got to go. You got to go somewhere else at this point.
This isn't a shift manager at Landry's.
No.
That's interchangeable parts. You know what I mean? You know, it's not a floor manager at the steakhouse.
Yeah, it's not furloughing your GM.
Yeah. This is the highest level of the sport and one of the best minds in the sport that has proved it with a constantly changing rotation of players.
How many MVPs has James Harden won without Mike D'Antoni?
Yeah.
The answer is 0.
Yeah.
What's the furthest James Harden's gone into the playoffs and been a threat to win? You can talk about Oklahoma City when he was a sixth man. It was when they had the Warriors against the wall. That was with Mike D'Antoni. Mm-hmm. Who had to make it work with Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul with James Harden on the court? That was Mike D'Antoni. So, you know, it's one thing for fans to not appreciate what Mike D'Antoni's done, but when the ownership has clearly shown it and the GM hasn't really backed him up, all the praise is buried. Actions speak louder than words. If I'm Mike D'Antoni, I'm riding this out and
then
I'm going somewhere
else. Show
me
if you're appreciated. But I'm with you. I think – there are some really good jobs. That Indiana job is a pretty good job, man, for sure. But Brooklyn, New Orleans, I don't know how much he would – I mean, he's worked with big men, you know, obviously. You talked about Stoudemire.
He got Lonzo
like
Ball. I mean, and they could play an up-tempo Zion, thing with Zion. I mean, and they got some big men that can run there as well. Also got J.J. Redick, got Ingram. I think Mike D'Antoni in New Orleans, he could have them playing a pretty exciting brand of basketball, a very exciting brand of basketball.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens. But if I was advising him, I'd say get the hell out of here. And if I was advising the Rockets and I was advising Tillman Fertitta and Daryl Morey, I'd say be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Because James Harden, it's not easy to coach James Harden. It's not. I know he's great, but it's not the easiest thing to do. It's also a lot of times hard to play because you're just sitting around basically waiting for the ball with under 10 seconds in the shot clock. So be careful what you wish for. Mm-hmm. If I'm advising the Rockets, but if I'm Mike D'Antoni, get the hell out of here in a hurry.
And I know that, you know, 3-and-D is not just exclusive to the Rockets, but with the way they're playing small with D'Antoni and the adjustments he's made is what I'm talking about. You know, the 3-point shot, the analytics involved, that's across the league. So yes, someone else can come in and James Harden will still be awesome. What I'm saying is with this group, I mean, you know, you got guys like Eric Gordon, you know, that are integral allegedly to how they're playing, and to be able to integrate Russell Westbrook and James Harden with one basketball, just like he did with Chris Paul and James Harden with one basketball. Daryl Morey talks a lot. And let's be honest, takes a lot of bows about, you know, Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook. Well, nobody said it would work and it worked. I mean, Chris Paul and James Harden. Nobody said it would work and it worked. Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Nobody said it would work and yet it worked. Yeah, Daryl Morey brought those guys in, but Mike D'Antoni made it work. I mean, there are a lot of coaches that would just throw up their hands and like, these are strong personalities, man. I'm with you. He needs to go ahead and just move on.
Just move on. Do the Texans have an advantage against the Kansas City Chiefs? Lopez is almost spitting out his water as I say that. Here is Jack Easterby, the right-hand man of Bill O'Brien, talking about the advantage the Texans have in 15 days against the Chiefs.
Well, y'all know by now, you know, I always try to see it half full. I think we're blessed here to have obviously a great organization, great leadership. And so as I looked at the first game on the road, I was like, you know, maybe we could start a place that we went somewhere a couple times last year, you know. But anyway, it was a blessing to know the hotel, to know the mm-hmm. environment we're in, to know those locker rooms well, to know the setup of that whole stadium and be able to, and obviously I've been there a ton of times. So I think we feel pretty comfortable with that going on the road. I think mm-hmm. there'll be different things for the players as they try to learn their daily routine and their pregame routine relative to socially distancing on the buses and having to spread out the times when they enter the locker room and
right.
some of those types mm-hmm. of things. So there'll be some differences that they'll learn, but we're going to go through some of those as we prepare for the scrimmage. So mm-hmm. they should have some of those vetted personally. And then the rest of it, you know, I think – because we've done so much work on the front side and we've practiced and we've done these things, I think the rest of it is the newness of playing a competitive football game, franchise on franchise scrimmages or potentially some preseason games. And so not having done that, I think that's the biggest challenge.
Okay. That's a big challenge. Remember when we were just begging to hear from Jack Easterby? Remember that?
Yeah.
I kind of
what
miss,
about it?
I kind of miss those days. No, I'm being too hard on Jack. I'm being too hard on Jack. Like, we just haven't heard from Jack Easterby. That was unfair probably, but you know, he is what he is, man.
He's all over the place.
He'll take a question.
He's an athletic director.
He'll take a question and go to the direction that he wants to go.
I do wonder because I think he does do a lot of good things. I do wonder because he's all over the place.
All over.
I mean, he deserves all the credit for the COVID, all that type of stuff. He's at practice. He's
doing
stuff.
I'm a people person.
There are times where players, even in the, and I'm even going back to amateur. You can go mm-hmm. back to like peewee, high school, college. They kind of get tired of someone being there all of the time.
Yes. Yes.
Like telling you how to be on the bus and stuff yeah. like that. Like the overbearing little league parent.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. We were mentioning how sometimes that
sometimes you do too much.
Unnecessary
it gets a little meeting. Bit. It can irk players.
Yeah. The unnecessary attaboys and all that. And I mean, but it is what he is. I mean, he's not, he's unapologetic about who he is.
He's valuable.
And he is valuable and he's respected. I mean, Bill O'Brien absolutely loves working with him. I mean, just loves working with him. So it is what it is, but sometimes you just, again, my eyes kind of gloss over. I'm not exactly sure which direction he's going with his answer.
It's the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig. So they answer the question, do the Texans have an advantage against the Chiefs?
I mean, they'll have separation and social distancing on the buses.
There we go.
Yeah.
Hail to the now. Sometimes there are some interesting things that happen that get you thinking that there's certain possibilities when it comes to the local teams. Adam Spillane threw something out yesterday on the postgame show that I find very interesting about the future of Dusty Baker. We're going to talk to him about the Astros halfway through the season. We're also going to talk to him about the Rockets and the latest on Mike D'Antoni hours before their game against Oklahoma City next.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at Radio.com/Dell.
All right, Adam Spillane, SportsRadio610.com, just tweeted this out at Adam Spillane. We thought that Russell Westbrook would definitely not play tonight for the Rockets. However, he has randomly been upgraded to questionable for tonight's game against Oklahoma City.
Bro, what are you talking about?
The man himself, Adam Spillane, joins us now. Adam, he's playing then, right?
I have no idea. And this is from Jonathan Fagan, who had this first. And because it's not listed on the actual injury report. So there is an injury report that is supposed to be sent out to the league at 1 o'clock. So I'm assuming that Westbrook is going to be put on there as questionable. And the fact that they have upgraded him makes it seem like he's going to play or at least give it a shot during warmups. I don't know. This is not anything that I would have expected. He has not, as far as I know, he has not done any sort of five-on-five practice or anything like that. And so this would be obviously a pretty big development. And if you were going to have him play, this would be the game to do it when it's 2-2 in a best-of-seven playoff series.
Yeah, so Adam.
Not something that I expected.
That's where my mind went immediately. When I saw this, I'm thinking, well, he's going to get there early and maybe go through some drills and warm-ups, and then they'll decide. I mean, I can't imagine that, you know, they're just decided questionable means he's probably going to play. I think he's probably going to try to at least warm up.
Yeah, I think that seems to be the way it'll go. But knowing him, if he goes out there and he warms up,
yeah,
he's going to play. That's just how he is. So you have an injury report that comes out at 1, and then we'll hear from Mike D'Antoni at 3:45 to get a clearer look. But obviously, they need him. I mean, I think that they can win games against Oklahoma City, but he makes it a lot easier when he's on the floor. So a positive development. And even if he can't go today, it makes it seem like he would be sure able to play game 6.
Sure. Before we move on to the Astros, obviously I'm sure you've seen Nate McMillan has been fired in Indiana. And obviously there's some job openings elsewhere as well, Brooklyn, New Orleans, et cetera. What are the odds that Mike D'Antoni takes one of them?
I think the odds are relative. I think there are two questions. I think one is, what are the odds Mike D'Antoni is back with the Rockets, and what are the odds that he takes one of these open jobs? I don't think Mike D'Antoni is going to be back with the Rockets next season. Just nothing that has happened since last summer makes me think that's going to happen. But at the same time, I don't know if he wants to start over anywhere else at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has the team that is perfectly built for him in the way that he wants to play. Does he want to go to Indiana, where two of their three best players are centers? Does he want to go to New Orleans, where that's a really young team and that's a really hard job, even though there's a lot of talent? So I don't know if he wants to start over. I think Brooklyn would be a great spot for him, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Get a little Kyrie action, little KD and all those guys. Yeah, that would be good. I'm intrigued by New Orleans, though. I mean, I wonder what he could do with a guy like with Alonzo Ball and Ingram on the wing. And they got a couple bigs, including Zion, who's not really a big, that like to run. I feel like New Orleans is shaped up pretty nice to where he could – I mean, I think he could do some pretty good things there in New Orleans if I'm looking at the intrigue.
I think he would be great for Lonzo Ball. I think that he would empower Lonzo Ball and give him so much confidence. And that's what D'Antoni is so good at. Obviously, he's a really good coach and he's really smart. And has and really forward thinking, but he empowers his players and he instills so much confidence in them. And that's why you see Ben McLemore have his best year after just kind of bouncing around for years. And the same thing with Jeff Green. I think that he would be a good fit with some of those young guys just to give them some confidence.
It's just mind blowing that the Rockets and specifically Tillman Fertitta do not recognize what you just said and what Landry and I have been saying. He's perfect for this group. Perfect. They're not going to find anyone better than Mike D'Antoni. Why can't they recognize that?
I don't know. I wish I could explain. I wish I could answer that question, and I just don't. I don't understand it. I've never really. I could not understand it when they were going through the whole thing last year. They have had more success with D'Antoni the last 4 years than they have had since the 90s. And for whatever reason, they just won't double down on that. And I think the only way that it happens is if James Harden says, you know what, this guy's got to be the coach.
Yeah.
Talking to Adam Spillane here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. I want to switch gears to the Stros. Stros are officially on the final half of the season. They get a couple days off. Tough loss yesterday with broken Belak, but for the most part, five games up in second place, you'll take that, and within striking distance of the A's. But you said something yesterday that I thought was interesting. You join me every day after the game on the post-game show as soon as you get done talking to Dusty Baker and the players. And you threw out the possibility that maybe Dusty Baker, despite the fact they picked up the extension, it's not a given, in your opinion, that Dusty Baker is 100% the Astros manager in 2021. Can you tell the loopholes about that conversation that we had?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. They picked up his option. Remember, they hired him and they gave him a one-year contract with an option for 2021. And they picked up the option after four games. And to me, that picking up the option was more of a thank you. That was more of a, hey, we appreciate everything that you've done. You helped lead us through the scandal back in spring training. You have come here. You have done everything that we have asked you to do. We're going to reward you by making sure that you at least get paid for 2 years here. But I don't know if he necessarily fits in to what they want to do long term. This felt like more of a, this is a quick fix. This is someone who can handle himself under any circumstance. And remember, the general manager didn't hire him either. They hired the GM after they hired the manager. So he does seem to have a really good working relationship with James Click. It just, if you told me that he wasn't going to be the manager in 2021, it wouldn't shock me. And that, it doesn't matter what happens this year. They could make the playoffs. They could win the World Series. I have a feeling that this is just a one-year thing just to help guide them through the scandal.
What's your assessment of the Astros over halfway through the season? How do you feel about this squad? If I just asked you to give them – let's just give them a grade. Let's just go old school. Adam Spillane, SportsRadio610.com, covers the Stros and the Rockets. Just give them a grade, professor style, on where they are right now, 31 games into a 60-game season.
I'd say probably a B. They have had to maneuver around a ton of injuries, which is not easy to do. They're having to – throw in a bunch of rookie pitchers. They've got five pitchers really that are making significant contributions that had never pitched in the big leagues before. That's not easy to do. Those guys have pitched well for the most part, but they've had some guys underachieve at the same time. So I think that they have done probably the best that they can with what they've got when you consider the injuries they have. Just there have been a couple of underachievers. They're going to make the playoffs. The key for them is going to be, can they get healthy? And can they continue to get better? And can the young pitchers continue to pitch at a high level before the playoffs start?
That's not a B as in be a genie, is it?
No, that would be an F, for him, unfortunately.
What in the – what does he have? What's his ERA now, 24, 26?
It's up there.
It's high. Gracious. It's very high.
Hey, don't let Spillane pile on, though. Spillane gave him a courtesy laugh at one of his jokes.
Oh,
so
no,
Spillane's
Adam.
Part of the problem. Don't give Spillane a free pass here.
No, those are the worst.
I said yesterday that he'll throw in one line that I enjoy. So I'm part of the problem. I admit it. he will make me chuckle, but then it's just
how.
He'll mix one in because you don't expect it. You don't expect these guys to start mixing in jokes. So whenever one does, you can't help but chuckle. So sorry, that's on me. I admit it.
All right.
I'm part of the problem.
Yeah. All right, Adam, we'll
gotta
get
coach
you
better.
We'll get you out of here on this. Ocho on the text line, 713-572-4610, said he wanted us to tell you, because he's one of your biggest supporters, that small ball and bunting is life. He doesn't care what you have to say about it.
Ocho's crazy, and tell him Montrezl Harrell's just not that good.
Adam, we appreciate it.
All right, guys, I'll talk to you later.
Now, that was funny.
That's the great Adam Spillane. See, that was a good one.
Now, that was fun.
That was a good one. Adam Spillane with the zinger right there. Follow him at Adam Spillane on Twitter. One of the best basketball, baseball minds that you will find. The hits are lit. We got a weatherman showdown. Jack versus Bill. Who is the better weatherman?
Oh, I like this.
They already got enough jobs, but we're going to see who gets the duty as the official weatherman of the Houston Texans next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
In response to the looming threat of Hurricane Laura, the Texans will leave early today to ensure everyone gets home safely. They'll meet virtually tomorrow and reassess the report time for the scrimmage after making sure it's safe for the people to come to the stadium. This courtesy of Ian Rappaport.
We're putting safety first.
Of the NFL Network.
Did you see the National Hurricane Center, what they just tweeted?
I did not.
This does not seem ideal. The first sentence of their latest update, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if I've ever heard this. Unsurvivable storm surge with large destructive waves will cause catastrophic damage from Sea Rim State Park, Texas, to the intercoastal city in Louisiana. Unsurvivable. This is the National Hurricane Center said, you ain't going to make it. If you're in one of these places.
Now I'm going to call my grandmother.
I'm telling you, I've never heard the Hurricane Center say that. Unsurvivable storm surge.
I mean,
wait,
they're basically just saying,
what?
Don't evacuate.
Get the hell out.
Like, that's really all they're saying.
I've seen, you know, whatever, dangerous storm surge, blah, blah, blah. Flat out, unsurvivable storm surge from Sea Rim State Park, which is a little bit east of Galveston, for those who don't know, to basically to the middle of Louisiana. That's incredible. I just retweeted it. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, that's not ideal. I want to have a weatherman showdown. And this is my theory on Bill O'Brien. I think Jack used to be talking is very good, just based on the case studies that I do. I think it's very good for Bill O'Brien's image and approval rating when Easterby talks and then B.O.B. talks.
100%. B.O.B., B.O.B.'s Q rating, as they say, popularity, even though it's never going to be great until he wins more, has gotten better because at least you know what you're getting with Bill
O'Brien. Let's just
give
a side-by-side weather report / weather preparation.
Yeah.
From Bill O'Brien and then Jack Easterby. Let's start with Bill O'Brien talking about the oncoming hurricane.
I mean, it is what it is, right? I mean, there's not too much you can do about it. I wouldn't look at it as a setback. We've had good, hard practices. No one wants to go through a hurricane, but I mean, if something like that happens, we just adjust and adapt. I mean, that's 2020, right? I mean, this is like typical for 2020, right? You got all these things going on, and now you got a hurricane. I mean, it is what it is. You just adjust, you adapt. Jack and I call it stick and move. Stick and move, man. You know, this is what it is. And if we get a hurricane, it's terrible, but we just adjust our schedule. And these guys, you know, we'll have the team ready to go.
No excuses from Bill O'Brien there. Now, what about monitoring it, Bill? What about monitoring it? It is a showdown between Jack and Bill. Stick and move. What about monitoring it? I like that first answer.
Mm-hmm.
See if you can build on that and stack good quotes on top of good quotes, like good days on top of good days.
The way that the way that we're tracking it right now, Jeff Schmitz, he really sends out, multiple emails per day. I don't know, but we do have plans. You know, we got to do what we got to do. We got to adjust. You know, if something happens where we can't practice or whatever, the most important thing is the safety of our players and their families and our coaches and their families and all the support staff and their families. So that's how we would handle it.
That's 2 for 2. Let's see if he can go 3 for 3.
He's 2 for 2.
Can he go 3 for 3? Bill O'Brien. More from Bill O'Brien on monitoring the coming storm.
But now I'm looking at a European model, and I'm looking at this other model, and that, you know, I'm like, which model do you? I mean, I don't even like one looks like it's headed towards Louisiana. We're on the west of it. We stay on the west of it. Maybe we'll be okay. But last time I checked, I didn't have a degree in meteorology, so I don't know. But we're definitely, you know, we're on top of it. You know, we'll make a call when we have to make the call. I think this one's different than Harvey, right? It's more about wind, and Harvey was about rain.
Educated.
So I think the wind is an issue relative to our bubble and things like that. So we'll stay on top of it.
He's talking about the European model. He's talking about the other models. He's talking about the style in which the hurricanes are different. The last time we experienced a big one, that guy,
he's on it.
I like that guy.
He's on it. How do you not like Bill O'Brien? And I just said that.
I'm telling you, we're on to something here when it comes to the approval rating.
Right.
Now, let's hear from his right-hand man, because this is a showdown. How would you rank Bill O'Brien right there? First of all, he made no excuses. He said it's not an excuse.
Straight up.
He said it's part of living in Houston.
It is what it is.
He said it's been a crappy year. It is what it is. He talked about the European model.
Mm-hmm. He broke down the hurricane in X's and O's.
He talked about evaluating it. He talked about how they would have to adjust accordingly. He talked about all that.
It's like he watched tape.
That's an A.
That's an A. It's absolutely an A.
That's an A.
Yeah.
Now, here's his right-hand man, Jack Easterby, talking about how you assess this weather. Keep in mind, this is a showdown. So 713-572-4610. Who wins? That's Bill. What about Jack?
How do you sort of navigate through the next few days? I mean, probably got some players that are like, hurricane, like, what do we do for a hurricane? How do you kind of navigate through the next few days with what that's going on, with obviously all the COVID testing, all that kind of crap built in?
Yeah, well, let me first start by saying training camp's a little different this year without fans. You know, we really miss the fans coming out here and hearing people yelling and screaming for their Texans and being excited for training camp. It's a rite of passage. Astros are playing baseball, Rockets in the playoffs, and then a chance for training camp to go really well with excitement.
Hurricane.
Yeah, I think in all these situations, we've been blessed with really good people here in Houston where we rally up. You know, we've been doing a little different type meetings with our emergency crisis teams relative to Zoom and getting on there and jumping on there with plans, things that could potentially help
Hurricane
us stay safe
Laura.
In this type of a situation. We did that with COVID, so we've got a little bit of practice with how we should handle these things. And we've been talking every night about what we should do if Laura comes this way, and definitely praying for all those who will be affected by this and hoping it misses us, but we're taking it very seriously, and we're prepared for lots of different things that could happen. So really the goal is just to always live track, you know, what's going on, whether it's weather or it's something else, and then also to have plans on a bunch of different directions. So we've got that done.
My goodness.
So who won?
I'm not sure that Easterby was even playing.
This was a sweep.
All due respect, the question was about the hurricane, just like it was for Bill O'Brien. Jack Easterby makes Bill O'Brien look good. It's like that old line. Did you ever see the movie Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield?
Come on, of course. The dive team?
Yeah.
God, Rodney
the
could dive.
The triple Lindy?
Now that's, say it.
That travels well with time. I'll say it too. Remember he did the triple Lindy or whatever it was? All right.
And then he danced with the girls?
There's a line that he said in that movie that stuck with me. I found there's only one way to look thin. Hang around with a bunch of fat people. Remember that? There's only one way to look thin. Hang around with a bunch of fat people. He's not fat. Well, I mean, he's big. Jack Easterby isn't fat, but in the context of this comparison, Bill O'Brien looks good because he's hanging around with a guy that speaks in vagaries a lot of times. And again, all due respect, we know what Jack Easterby is doing and that he's trusted by Bill O'Brien. I'm talking about just the public perception all of a sudden makes Bill O'Brien look better.
Thank you so much, John. I hope you're well.
Shout out to 0780 on the text line. They've been throwing out the comparisons between Bill O'Brien and Mike D'Antoni and how we praise Mike D'Antoni, who hadn't gotten over the hump, and we've been critical of Bill O'Brien. Do you think that's a fair assessment? I don't think so, because I think that Mike D'Antoni, the bad luck is very clear, and I also think he's having to adjust to James Harden and Daryl Morey's philosophy. So I don't necessarily think that this is 100% his system, and I also think that Bill O'Brien he's had the most talented team in the AFC South every year, I would say, except 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2018, Andrew Luck was coming back, and the Colts eventually beat them in the playoffs. So I don't think that he has necessarily maximized his talent as much as D'Antoni, because I think they've had the most talent in the division that they've been winning.
I agree with you. I think, you know, I mean, it's two totally separate things, you know, how D'Antoni got where he is and how Bill O'Brien got where he is. Mike D'Antoni has proved everything on the court and apparently needs to prove more off the court to Fertitta and Morey. It's the exact opposite with Bill O'Brien. He hasn't proved that he can get to that championship level on the field, but he has the confidence of Jack Easterby and ownership off the field. So it's two totally different ways of getting to the same place.
100%.
Yeah.
100% agree with you. Speaking of Mike D'Antoni, he's being linked to the Indiana Pacers job, which just opened up, the New Orleans job. There's even been talk about the Nets, the Brooklyn job, which you got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. The New Orleans job to me is something I think Mike D'Antoni would thrive in. You got some bigs that can run. You got Ingram on the wing. I think he would get the most of Lonzo Ball. That to me would be the ideal job for Mike D'Antoni. I would take any of those jobs more than the Rockets job, because I don't think he's appreciated by Tillman Fertitta. I think Tillman Fertitta disrespected him more than I've ever seen an owner disrespect Mike D'Antoni. I don't know that Tillman Fertitta is going to be spending as much. I don't think this team's going to go over the luxury tax anytime soon. And I just think Mike D'Antoni should just change the scene, go somewhere where he's going to be appreciated, get a guaranteed 3-year contract or whatever it is, because Tillman likes to do the year-to-year thing, and just get out of here. Just get out of here. Go do your thing. Because his system works. Steve Kerr used it to win in 2016, because Steve Kerr was with Mike D'Antoni. He had Joe Johnson, Amari Stoudemire get hurt years when he was with the Suns and still went to the Western Conference Finals, and then had the hip check Robert Ori, where Diaw and Stoudemire also had the Chris Bondry. He's just bad luck. He might have a deal with the devil. I don't know what's wrong with him. But
or not have a deal with the devil.
This is an adjustment to James Harden. He's having to adjust to James Harden, and he's maximized James Harden. You heard Adam Spillane say he doesn't understand why he's not more appreciated.
I mean, flat out.
Go somewhere where you can be more appreciated. Get out of here. Go somewhere else, Mike. I like you. I think you do a good job, but get out of here. Go somewhere you can get appreciated. Go get appreciated in New Orleans. Go get appreciated in Brooklyn. Go get appreciated somewhere else. Go away, Mike. I want this for you.
You could trade Mike D'Antoni just about for any coach in basketball, and they wouldn't do as good a job with this group. Flat out. I'll stand by that. I get it. You know, there's some coaches that might have to change the style and still win a championship with this Rockets group, whatever. But I'm talking about, you know, with how they're playing and the way you're maximizing James Harden, you can trade him with any coach and you're not going to find a better one.
You know what the irony is of everybody talking about Mike D'Antoni's system? Mm-hmm. This is the irony. This is the 100% irony. Because Golden State, I got to say this again. Steve Kerr has said this 100 times. Steve Kerr was an exec when Mike D'Antoni was in Phoenix. Please listen to me. I'm begging you. I know a lot of times I'll say stuff, almost cussed, that will go that's worthy of going in one ear, one out the other. I can be a babbling dumbass sometimes. But I'm begging you to listen to me on this, okay? The Warriors ran D'Antoni's system before Durant got there. They tweaked the system for Kevin Durant. When they won 73 games, that was D'Antoni's system. Steve Kerr has said it himself. When mm-hmm. they won the championship the year before that was D'Antoni's system. Here's the irony. The most disappointing loss, arguably, that Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets have suffered during his run,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to count the two games when Chris Paul got hurt, was Game 6 last year. Game 6 last year against the Warriors after Durant tore his Achilles.
Right.
The Rockets lost to the Warriors without Kevin Durant. Without Kevin Durant.
Right.
They went back to running D'Antoni's system to do it.
Right, right.
So it wasn't the system. They were running his system without Durant. They went back to what they did before.
They said, how can we win this game?
That was literally, Steve Kerr ran D'Antoni's system. That was literally right there without Durant. D'Antoni's system.
Yeah.
This is a hardened system. D'Antoni's system has won at the highest level. It's the system that they lost when people were still criticizing the system.
You're 100% irony. Right. You're 100% right. And there's a we're at a point now, and maybe that would change because he knows this is a great opportunity to win a championship. Even if the Rockets came back to him at this point, wouldn't you be like, oh, really? If you're Mike D'Antoni, and just kind of peace out anyway?
Yes, I would. CJ, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
The fact that y'all are really sitting here acting like Mike D'Antoni is just this, oh my God, great coach, is ridiculous. He literally runs an 8-man roster. He literally.
Okay, who do you want to play, CJ? I hear that a lot because, first of all, Oklahoma City's running an 8-man roster basically right now. Who do you want? Who do you want to play? Who do you want to play? Give me that.
With the roster that he has.
Yeah. Who do you want? Who do you want in there?
Choice. He has no choice but to play 8, but he's had other rosters.
Who? Like, tell me, who has not gotten run that should have gotten run?
That we lost to the Spurs when we lost in 6 at home, he didn't play Montrezl Harrell. He had Harden guarding LaMarcus Aldridge. And what is Montrezl Harrell doing now? He's damn near a starter, right? He's coming off the bench, but he's still basically damn near ending game.
So Montrezl Harrell a few years ago
was it.
That's
just one example.
Give me some more then. I'm here. You're on the air. Go ahead. Give me some more. Go ahead.
We can go on this current roster.
Come on. Okay, who do you want to? Who do you want to?
Harkenstein on the team.
Harkenstein?
Come on.
Harkenstein?
Harkenstein was the G League MVP.
Harkenstein?
He can play defense. And he's 7 foot.
Harkenstein.
Harkenstein.
You know Harkenstein's not even on the team, right? You know Daryl Morey cut him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no more.
Harkenstein. Wait, say the name. Say the name one more time for me, CJ. Harkenstein.
Harkenstein. No, it's Harkenstein. I know how to pronounce his name.
Man, Harkenstein.
I got to tell you.
Woo.
That was not a good roster.
Harkenstein.
That wasn't a good roster. I mean,
Harkenstein.
Outside of the top ones, there, I'm talking about in 2017. Wasn't it 2017?
Thanks for the call,
when
CJ.
When they lost to the Spurs,
Harkenstein.
Whatever year that was, that roster wasn't a lot better than this, if at all.
And that was about James Harden.
If at all, yeah.
If you don't think that loss to the Spurs was about James Harden, I can't help you. Thanks for the call. But one more time before we get out of here.
Wasn't Ryan Anderson on that team?
Yeah.
Okay, there's your rotation.
Did anyone pick up Harkenstein after the Rockets released him? He was the MVP of the G League. The D League. Jimmer Fredette. Let's go get – didn't Jimmer Fredette win like a D League MVP? Harkenstein. I thought he was going to come with something. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going back to Phoenix. I mean, he had all the injuries with Phoenix.
You can't blame Mike D'Antoni. Who's going to get more out of this
Who
roster?
Do you want to get more run right now for the Rockets? And it's really not that rare that you have an 8-man rotation. We say that all the time. But you remember last year when people were like,
well,
why isn't Kenneth Faried playing more? Kenneth Faried, you got to get him out there. Harkenstein?
You can go back.
Come on, CJ.
Here's the thing.
Come on, CJ.
Here's the thing. You can go back to the 90s. You know, when it wasn't 3-and-D teams and it wasn't small ball teams and all that. And once you get to the postseason, the rotation, Landry, always goes down to about 8, maybe 9. You know, this is in the.
I mean, he does have a thin bench, but.
But what I'm saying is, even if you don't have a thin bench.
Harkenstein?
You can go back 2 decades and playoff teams always go down. They pare their rotation down to 8 or 9.
The Jazz won yesterday, okay? The Jazz won, right?
Yeah.
The Jazz won their series. Or the Jazz lost yesterday, 107-17. They actually ended up losing to Denver. They played 9 guys. 2 of those guys played 5 minutes.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
that's historically, too. That's even
now, did they have Harkenstein, though?
Well,
that's the problem. Did they have Harkenstein? Let's talk to Sean Pendergast. Little Texans practice report 15 days away from the matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.